This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
You may have heard the news of the seven church leaders who held a prayer-style protest yesterday in Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull's electorate office in Sydney. All ordained ministers from the Uniting Anglican Catholic and Baptist Churches, they sat for 5 hours in Mr Turnbull's office foyer, protesting against the refugee detention centres on Manus Island and Nauru, until police turned up and either arrested or escorted them out. One of those protesters was the well-known Baptist minister and author Michael Frost, who's the vice principal at Morling Bible College. And he joins me on the line now. Michael, thanks for your time.
That's all right, Claire. Nice to talk to you.
Michael, the protest was organised by the justice organisation Love Makes a Way. Why did you choose to participate?
Well, I think probably the most catalysing thing was the release of the Nauru files. I mean, I've been a friend, I guess I could say, of Love Makes a Way. I don't want to claim any great formal involvement, but I've certainly supported various of their protests over the years. But I was really mobilised by the release of those files, where we just heard this litany of stories of children and women being abused and assaulted and really giving over to utter and complete despair. I don't know if you've had a chance to read any of that stuff.
It is heartbreaking.
And I thought to myself, you know, like, there's just no way that we can any longer pretend that we don't know what's going on in those detention centres and the effect that they're having, in particular on children. So, I, you know, you can tweet about it and Facebook about it and jump up and down about it, but when Love Makes a Way said, would you like to engage in an action of this kind, I thought it's the least I thought I could do.
You sang, prayed, held communion and read out scriptures, and you also read out some of the incident reports from the Nauru files there in the foyer of Mr Turnbull's office. What was this experience like for you personally?
Oh, well, that's a good question. Actually, sitting on the floor of a foyer for 5 hours is not the most comfortable thing to do.
No.
And I know the Love Makes a Way guys. They were not in the foyer. They were outside in a kind of a vestibule area. It was only clergy that sat in the office. And I knew one of them quite well, but I didn't know any of the others. So it is actually an interesting experience to spend 5 hours on your knees in a relatively uncomfortable kind of place with, I hate to say strangers, but they were. I'd never met them before. Mm-hmm. And yet we were obviously bound together in Christ and our common commitment to Jesus, but also in this common cause of wanting to highlight the terrible conditions in Nauru. So how can I answer your question? It was an odd kind of experience, and yet a beautiful one. Imagine praying and worshipping with people you've never met before for 5 hours straight. Not many people can say they've done that.
No. What was it like to be in the presence of so many police? I saw one of the photos there, and there was a real solid group of several police there warning that you would be arrested and then eventually escorting you out.
Yeah, you know, actually, you know something, I'm one of those guys who gets a bit nervous when I have to do a breath test and I haven't even been drinking. So, you know, police officers, I guess, are somewhat intimidating by their very presence. But it was obvious from the day that they did not want to arrest us. They arrived about an hour after we did, and we overheard them speaking to Mr. Turnbull's office staff saying, we don't want to arrest these people. Let's see how long they last. We knew that the office closed at 5:30, so I think they were hoping we would give up before 5:30, and then they wouldn't have to bother with us. They came back again around about 3 or 4, I can't remember what time it was, and like walked through the vestibule and saw we were still there. They were just little groups of two police officers, and then at 5 p.m., they showed up in force, as you said. I think there was 9 police officers altogether. And interestingly enough, they arrived as we were celebrating communion. So they all walked in, and we were, I mean, it was obvious this was a ritual. We were, even if they weren't churchgoers, they would have known we were breaking bread. We had a common cup. There was certain, we were all clergy, so we all know how to conduct the Lord's Supper. So we were all, reciting prayers and words of institution to the feast and sharing it together. So they very solemnly and silently stood around us waiting. Mm. And then one of our number, who's got a great voice, a Uniting Church minister, she burst into Amazing Grace, so we started singing as well. So again, the police just thought, oh, okay, well, we better wait for this. And now, they sang verses to Amazing Grace I didn't even know had been written. So we sang about 6 or 8 verses. And again, they just waited. They just they did not want to be arresting nuns and ministers. And so all that to say, it wasn't as intimidating as it seemed. I think they were the ones who were a little intimidated, really. Mm. Then, of course, eventually they did go through the routine of warning us and telling us what the repercussions would be if we didn't leave. We all said that we were not going to leave. And then we were told that we would be escorted out. I was the first person. They grabbed my arm and led me out of the foyer. So and then the others followed. So they've since then said, "Oh, we weren't arresting them." Mm. So I don't know what's behind all of that. We were told that we'd been warned. We told them that we wouldn't leave. Mm. They then told us that there would be repercussions, and they laid hands on us and took us out. So to me, I don't know, it sounds like being arrested.
Yep, yeah. Yeah, for sure. You were physically removed, that's for sure. Yeah. And was Mr. Turnbull in town, and have you had any official response from his office?
No, we knew that he was in Canberra. It's the first week of the new session of Parliament. So, no, we knew that he wasn't going to be there. There have been other actions like this in ministers' offices where it's known that that minister is not present. The point of it isn't so much to make personal representation to the minister or parliamentarian, in our case, the Prime Minister. That's not primarily the point. If he was there and if he'd spoken to us, we would have been very happy to do that. But the point of it is to highlight this issue. I mean, look, someone said to me recently, why didn't you just go and pray and then leave? Why did you feel like you had to get arrested? And I said, well, if I didn't get arrested, you wouldn't be having this conversation with me, and Hope FM wouldn't be phoning me. I mean, the point of getting arrested is not like to grandstand or anything. It's just to say, hey, it's like an alarm bell. It's to say, hey, there is an older woman, a nun of the Josephite convent, a follower of Mary MacKillop here, and she's willing to be arrested in order to highlight this terrible situation. Do you know, Claire, I really don't want one day for my kids or my grandkids to be reading about how Australian taxpayers and citizens actually funded the creation of these camps on Pacific islands where people were just dumped and just given absolutely no hope of a future. There are kids swallowing stones, drinking cleaning fluid, there's sexual assaults. I mean, we were reading these incident reports, and I thought to myself, I don't know what difference me being there has. I don't know what difference it makes getting arrested. I just don't want to be able to say in 10 or 50 or 5 years' time, oh, yeah, I knew about all of that and I didn't do anything. I thought it was terrible, but I didn't act on it. I mean, I wanted to be able to say, no, it's terrible and I didn't do much and it may not have changed much, but I couldn't have done nothing in light of what I know about what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. Would you hope that your action has prompted more Christians to become aware and active on this issue? Do you hope that more believers will actually stand on their faith in this area?
I really do. And in fact, you know something, the organisers Love Makes a Way say it's very hard to get clergy to agree to do this kind of action because, you know, there are repercussions from their congregations or from their church hierarchy, and it's not, you know, a good look for ministers of the gospel to be arrested and those kinds of things. And I appreciate that. I was a bit nervous about it too, to be quite frank. But I have just had an overwhelming number of positive responses, mm-hmm. including a bunch of ministers from different denominations who've contacted me and said, like, I wish I joined you, or I'm, you know, in a funny way, I'm kind of jealous of it. Like, I wish I, you know, had have stood up. And I actually think maybe 6 months ago, I wouldn't have got that response. I think maybe 6 months ago, I could have posted on Facebook, hey, here's what I did, and I'd get a debate going about whether it was right or not right. But there's just been an overwhelming response of people either saying, good on you, or I wish I did it too. So actually, Claire, I mean, I don't know if that's like much of a poll, you know, social media, but my anecdotal information would tell me that, yes, I think the tide is turning. And I think that those files are the thing that have done it. Because I just, I mean, maybe the government could have said to us, oh, no, they're having a ball there in Nauru. They've got a school and, you know, everything's going great. And what would we have done? We had no information to the contrary, other than we think it sounds terrible. But these files now actually prove to us that, I mean, I was reading out one of these incident reports about a pregnant woman in August or September last year who has stopped eating.
Yeah.
And when they went to her and asked her why she wasn't eating, was she sick or was she protesting? And her answer just broke my heart. She said, I'm not sick and I'm not protesting. She said, I just can't be bothered anymore. And I thought, here is a pregnant woman so given over to despair. She doesn't. She's not even motivated to protest. She's just completely given up. And now, if that was at this time last year, well, she's given birth to that child. That child has been born into her mother's or his mother's utter despair. And I mean, to me, that just breaks my heart. I just think, how could you be a gospel person, or how could you be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and just think, yeah, that's bad, but like, well, they bought it on themselves, or, you know, they're cue jumpers. I to me, I just think, like, that can't be the Spirit of God speaking through someone.
Just lastly, what would you say as a leader who speaks for justice, what would you say to those who still believe that just bringing refugees to a safe and comfortable life in Australia sends the wrong message to people smugglers and asylum seekers and will make the problem worse? What do you say to that viewpoint?
Well, I would say that, you know, immigration policy as an overarching discussion, you know, does require a much more significant and nuanced kind of approach than just saying, oh, bring them all here, open the door. I totally understand that and I respect that. And I think that that debate has to occur. Personally, I think that we ought to increase our intake. I think we ought to be more generous. I appreciate people's concerns about there being health checks and them being vetted and all those things. So, yes, I think all of that ought to happen to more applicants for asylum to our country and ought to happen in a speedier process. But I would also say that irrespective of what your view on immigration policy as a whole is, you can't possibly justify inflicting punishment on children in order to expedite that policy. To me, that's just unconscionable. These children made no choices in the matter. They have ended up in terrible circumstances, and we're going to punish them in order to expedite our national immigration policy. I just don't know who could consider that justifiable.
And I believe that over half of the Nauru files were reports on children either being abused or self-harming. Reverend Michael Frost, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your interest in this issue.